That beautiful song was from the CD Midgard Pro Patria 3. And there's a whole lot of good stuff on that particular CD, and that is produced by our friends, our Aryan friends in Sweden. This is White Aryan Resistance Radio, White Aryan Resistance Radio. Our big website is at resist.com. You can download many, many, many radio shows. You can reach us by mail at P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. And you may reach us at War Metzger at sbcglobal.net, or you can call 760-723-8996 for a update, which we put out a couple of times a week, sometimes three. Yes, sir. Now, on our website, we've got tons of information, books, videotapes, audio tapes, and so forth for you. And you can purchase those by sending a check, a money order, or cash to John Metzger, or you may pay by PayPal. We've got a new one out here. It's called The History of the Aryan Race. I think it's about 250 pages or so, maybe more. And it was written in 1888, and we've revived it, and it looks pretty good to me, so get your orders in for that, yes. Another fantastic book we have is The Beast of the Apocalypse, which is a I think it's about 400 pages. It's a big baby, but anyhow, it's the history of what the nutty, nutty Jews have been pulling throughout history. I find it to be almost an encyclopedia on nutty Jewish activities. And that will come to you for a $30 donation. And, of course, all our products are shipped inside the country, postage paid. But if you're outside the country, now you're going to have to add about at least 25%, maybe more, because this foreign mail gets quite expensive. Well, we got a little mail here. In fact, we got a lot of mail. Here's one interesting one. I watched my pre-recorded version of 60 Minutes last night. The Americans are getting their asses kicked big time in Iraq. As usual, the reporters at 60 Minutes gravitate upon stupid emotion and other leftist tear-jerking garbage. What I found interesting was that the Iraqis were attacking and then blending into the crowd. The attacks are getting more sophisticated and precise all the time, as the one officer said, quote, a classic guerrilla campaign, unquote. I felt sorry for the average American soldier who thinks he's actually accomplishing something by risking his life for scumbag Halliburton executives and plutocrats. One guy got half his face blown off for the bastards, and he's going to go back for another tour of duty. I admired him, his dedication, white, of course, and yet thought the people sending these brave people out to be shot and blown up again deserve a night of the rope. Yeah, well, I think so, too. Well, I see old Dr. Collenberg, the knower of all truth, is making his way down the road and will be coming up the mountain here pretty soon. Of course, I see a bunch of wetbacks down there, and what the hell, there's guys with turbans on, and they're look like they're going to be firing on, and they're trying to get it. They jumped on the old running board of the Jeep trying to get it. I'll lay down some fire here. Little AK-47 fire along that tree line there. Yeah, man. There he goes. He's coming right on past them now. He'll be here any second now, and we'll get the show going. Well, I hear him coming down the hall, Dr. Collenberg, the knower of all truth, he thinks. I mean, here he is. Hello, Dr. Collenberg.
How you doing, Tom?
What's happening, man? I haven't seen you in a few days.
Oh, a whole lot. Just been working and working and working.
You must be the richest man in the, out there in the jungle.
That's true, except a lot of stuff I'm doing for free.
Oh, well,
all kinds of computer junk.
That's no fun. Yeah. Come on. What? We got lots of news this week.
Yeah.
What? You got any news there on your stack?
Oh, yeah. I was listening to the radio here, and I heard that there's a two witch doctors in Nigeria were arrested because they wanted to be invisible, so they took his 12-year-old nigger boy and yanked his eyes out.
Oh, that's cool.
They got arrested. I guess, at least the nigger boy couldn't see him. They're invisible to the nigger boy.
Well, I heard on PBS radio this morning they were going into a big, long thing about voodoo in Africa and, of course, trying to smooth it out a little. Yeah. There's a good voodoo and a bad voodoo the niggas use, you see. But what a lot of people don't realize, if you go back into those books on religion that I've got, you go all the way back, even Christianity didn't start with Egypt and the Jews or anything else. It really has a lot of its inceptions in deep Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totemism and things like that they talk about. And, boy, you know, then you got, remember the Black Madonna?
Oh, yeah.
Over there
in
Poland, I think it is.
Well, in France, when the Christian church first came to Italy, they had Jesus as a black kid and the Virgin Mary as a black woman. Because remember, it came from, like, Ethiopia and stuff.
Yeah, well then,
The Coptic Christians?
I forget the name of the two volumes of books I got on.
Well, the first person to call themselves Christians were people in Turkey.
Yeah.
So, they used to call themselves the Way.
The Way.
Yeah, that's in a lot of the Bible books where they talk about the Way instead of Christianity.
Cool. Well, there must have been some darkies in there someplace.
Almost all the original ones were darkies.
Now, they weren't just out in the sun a long time?
Well, that's how they got to be darkies. All the palaces. Wait a minute.
You don't believe niggers got black because they were in the sun a lot.
Yeah, they got burnt.
You don't believe that, do you?
Yeah, just like burning a piece of toast.
No, come on. They can't reach in there to their jeans.
Well, at least that's what the scientists. Well, you're an atheist. You should believe all that scientific shit. You're an atheist.
Well, wait a minute. I could disprove it right now. They've got Eskimos up by the North Pole, and there's hardly any sun at all, and they're darker than niggers.
Well, yeah, I know. It doesn't make any sense because they say that white people are white because they were in the snow. But if you look at the Asians were in Asia actually longer than the white people were in Europe, except the Asians are yellow. Why aren't they blonde hair and blue eyes? Since, you know, like in the Mongolians, they're in the snow all the time. It's the same as Germany and stuff. So the Mongolians.
Yeah, and you think, the farther north you go with those Mongolians, the darker they get.
Yeah. You know, Siberian stuff, they're really, look like American
Indians. Yeah, man. It's amazing. In this day and age, they still will teach that stuff, and people throw that at me all the time, that it's because the niggers were in the sun a lot.
Yeah.
For millions of years, it turned them nigger.
Yeah.
Well, that's as bad as believing everybody's equal, or anybody's equal.
Well, too, and not in just Africa. If you go down to the southern part of South Africa, they've got penguins and stuff there, and that's snow. So why aren't why aren't the Bushmen white? Because basically that's like Northern Europe and Southern Africa.
Well, we got a little audience in here today. I don't know how in the hell they made it through all these wetbacks around here, but they made it up here. What do you think of the show so far, ladies and gentlemen? And Lone Wolfers? Oh, thank you very much. And we'll get on with the show. Now, where were you, Mr. Wyatt Kaldenberg, doctor?
Well, we were just talking. I was talking about those witch doctors. And we were talking about South Africa. South Africa is a good one because that's basically it's far enough south to be, you know, on the.
Yeah.
Just like Germany because, you know, they got penguins and stuff to tip South Africa, but they're just as black as can be down there.
Yeah,
except for the European.
So we solved that mystery right off, and opened up another mystery. Did we all come from the same origin or not?
Do you believe in Africa, the African Genesis?
I know
that's a good book by Robert Audrey.
I like the book, but I don't believe the concept.
Yeah,
that we all came from one. You can't. You just can't sell me. And it's not just because of racism either, that we came from the same place the nigger did.
Yeah.
You just can't, if it could be, okay, but I don't believe it. I think there's Carlton Coon was on the ball, separate development. What do you think?
You know what I think. I believe that the white race was divinely made. And just like Madame Blavatsky said that the Aryan were God. In the book Secret Doctrine.
What did you do? Stack my audience and getting all those.
In the book The Secret Doctrine, she says that the Aryan were gods, and that they had such a high IQ in spirituality that they could shape-shift, or they could pass through walls. And what happened to the white race is the Aryan married into the monkey, you know, the animal race, the nigger, and now we have no psychic powers hardly at all. We cannot pass through walls. We cannot shape-shift into animals.
Oh, my God.
We are no longer gods.
That's
why eugenics is a religious quest, because it is to return the Aryan to godhood.
Oh, God, this gives me a headache. You got out of that Mormonism Christian stuff, and then you get into this stuff.
Yeah.
Some
of the fundamentalist Mormon stuff's really deep, because, you know, like, they have a thing where you're supposed to, that man is supposed to transcend into God, and that all the elders have nine wives, because women have a greater chance to get into heaven than, and when you die, every Mormon has their own planet, and they're the God of their own planet.
Well, just remember, it there is no God like that. We made the God. The God is us.
The
Jews did that, they made a God that they worshipped, the God, but the God was the Jews.
Yeah, that's what we have
so
to do.
So Aryans should do the same
thing. Exactly, exactly.
But it's not out there someplace.
He's right here.
Well, when are you going to start walking? You better not walk through my wall, boy.
That will be years, because we have to have a very strict eugenics program.
Oh, I see.
So we can get the impurity out of our blood.
And we can walk through walls.
Get the animal out of our blood.
What else can we do?
Transform into animals, shape-shift into wolves, all kinds of stuff.
Well, I do that every time I have a drink.
That's true.
Every time I get together the skinheads, and I do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you know how they do. They want to do that bumping and grinding, or what do you call it?
Slam dance.
Slam dance. That's bumping and grinding.
What is it, bumping and grinding with other guys usually?
Yeah. Oh, now, wait a minute. The one I just went to down in Phoenix, there was girls in there.
Oh, good deal.
There was at least three or four, maybe more girls.
Yeah, there was a time in the 80s where girls weren't allowed in the pit.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. There was one gal in there, boy, she could really toss some of those guys around.
Yeah.
What else we got here? Look, the Coast Guard caught a car sailing Cuban.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, I got a picture of it here.
And they loved him so much they let him in.
The 59 Buick.
Well, one of them, the first
no,
one.
No, they let the 59 Buick in and let...
Oh, really?
Kick the Cubans out.
No, the first one sunk. The first one sunk. They had a pickup, and one of them sunk. And then this one, I guess, was on had a little floating device.
Well, yeah, here's a picture of it. It's they put the regular boat front.
Oh, yeah,
on
yeah.
It.
The pickup sunk. They had a pickup that was the first one to come out.
Yeah, well, that's the 59 Buick sit lower in the water.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's pretty cool. And then you just take the back tires off and put paddles on.
Oh, yeah.
And hell, you could do that. Maybe I'll do that out here at the lake.
Have your own boat.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to see a 59 Buick go down to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's a nice car, man. Well, that must have been a white Cuban.
Yeah,
a nigger Cuban couldn't figure that out, man. What else? Oh, there's a movie out now. I haven't even seen anything about this. It's called The Statement. Directed by Norman Jewison. Michael Caine. He's usually pretty good, even though he's a kike. And it says here that he's a French Nazi criminal. And it says here, Caine unable. Catholics are bad, Nazis are bad, and Michael Caine's movie about both is boring. You know, it's probably a good movie if they pan it.
Well, if it's made by Jewison, I mean, he is the most self-hating kike, one of the most self-hating kikes. He's worth a steal, bro.
Well, then maybe it'd be a good movie.
Yeah.
If he's a self-hating kike, he should make a self-hating kike movie.
Well.
Not as bad as Woody Allen.
Woody Allen, well, actually, self-hating kike.
He's my favorite Jew, you know.
Self-hating kike wasn't a good word. How about I should have said a white-hating kike.
Oh, well.
Because he made that movie, remember, about... the Atlanta City killing about that Wayne Williams, that little nigger that
Wayne Williams.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he made the movie, and he implied in his movie that it was a Ku Klux Klan that did it, and it was this poor black man being framed and stuff.
The part-time DJ down there. That's what they called him.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I may look in on it.
Jewison's a pretty vile person.
Yeah, well, with a name like that, you can probably figure that out. And now, look, they had a big march down in, this was in Tempe, Arizona. I get a lot of clippings from down there from my underground people.
Mm-hmm.
They come up above the ground once in a while. But anyhow, They had an MLK March for Unity and Diversity.
MLK, oh, Martin Luther King?
Martin Luther Kike. But anyhow, right in the front, you know, all these people that say, oh, the poor Arabs, the way they're treated by the Jews and all that kind of stuff. And probably because they hate the Jews, but they don't have the balls to say it. So they say, oh, the poor Arabs. Right in front of the parade are the Sikhs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all these other Semites and so forth. And
the Sikhs are from India, aren't they?
Yeah, they are from India. They're not Semites. They're mixed.
Oh, they're Semites. They're brown.
They're mixed race. I consider anybody a Semite crap. Anyhow, there he is with his turban on and everything. And, you know, if these people that don't like the Jews think they're going to get all these people on their side in this country, forget it. Forget it.
Well, you know, the thing is, the reason that the Muslims are anti-Israel is they look at Israel as a European colony, and they look at it as white people. So they're against Israel because they think that it's white people invading their land, and it's an anti-white thing. It's not really an anti-Jewish thing, because they think that the true Jews were Semites just like them, and these are just white Teutonic people who converted to Judaism.
Damn, I agree with that.
Yeah. The root of Arab anti-Semitism is basically anti-European hatred.
Well, those Ashkenazims are white. A lot of them, a lot of them are Aryans with the Jewish mindset.
Yeah, they got a point, because the biblical Jews were Semites, and they don't look anything like European Jews.
Right.
And European Jews are like Christian identity. They're all confused, and they think that they're the true Jews, and they go to Israel, and they want to be with the other Semites, except they're not racially Semites, so they really don't belong in the desert, and they just basically pushed the Wogs out and took over their land.
It's interesting how a lot of those guys have that typically Semitic facial look, but with white skin.
Yeah,
you know, where they pale of the settlement. You know.
Well, a lot of them are Turko-Armenian Jews. Turko-Armenian Jews have a lot of. They're a mixture of Armenian and Turk, so, you know, they do have Semitic blood through Turkey.
Sure. You know, I was just reading it. Where was it? In Poland. The Jews are now trying to get some more money from the Polish because they had such a bad time. They probably did, because the Poles hated the Jews worse than the Germans.
Yeah.
And the French hated the Jews worse than the Germans. Well, anyhow, they said they had, at one time, they had 500,000. I think it was 500,000 or more Jews in the big cities of Poland.
Yeah.
You can imagine what that was like.
Oh, yeah.
And when they got done, there was only about 60,000 left, I think. So the uncle...
You know what's funny about that is they say that the Nazis forced all these people, but if you look at Poland and France, where they really hated the Jews, you know, they treated the Jews, you know, strictly, but you go to places like... Finland and the Baltics and stuff, who were they had, you know, Nazi governments there, and then, you know, the Nazi party in Finland said that they'd pull out of the Third Reich if the Nazis touched any Finnish citizen. You know,
yeah,
and that was the Nazi party saying that. You know, you just can't touch one of our citizens. You know,
yeah, there was a lot of that funny stuff going on. Yeah,
but you know, it's basically not the Germans, you know, because the locals had a lot of freedom, even Mussolini and stuff. He didn't give up any Jews until the Germans took over Italy and basically forced them.
It was later, and then of course Franco too. He was protected the Jews, of course. Supposedly his mother was a Jew.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. But he was sort of a mixed breed, anyhow. Yeah. You know. So anyhow, now I see there's been advances in surveillance raised privacy concerns. In other words, what the hell are they trying to tell us? There's privacy.
No.
That it's just now going away.
Yeah.
Didn't you you realize that there was no privacy?
Well, especially not for us.
No, there's no privacy for us or anybody that's critical of the government.
Yeah.
Anybody that fights the system has no privacy.
What happened to our good buddy Al Sharpton? It seems like he's just fell off the.
Why? What the hell? I can't understand it.
He fell off the radar.
I don't think Jesse Jackson's even helping him out.
No, Jesse Jackson's spending all his time getting that nigger off.
Oh.
They left poor Al Sharpton in the middle of nowhere. He can't even get a vote in Niggertown.
What was the name of that guy that they got out of the chair the other night?
Nigger?
The one.
I think his name was Nigger.
Oh, come on, man.
Ugly Nigger?
Come on.
Bloodthirsty Nigger.
Oh, come on. Hey, shut up! Just sit down there and drink your beer. Don't get excited there in the audience. Well, anyhow, poor old Al. We've been pouring a lot of big money behind him.
And we even put his ugly mug on our front page.
And we got the skinhead bands playing for him.
Probably scared some kids at that page.
We got all these guys in white bar t-shirts going from door to door handing out Reverend Al's political stuff.
Uh-huh.
Boy, that causes some very interesting results.
Oh, really?
Well, most little old ladies pass out.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you know, so anyhow. But, you know, down in Tennessee, I think it was, my good buddy George Jones
uh-huh.
endorsed that General Clark.
Of course, Clark. Oh, so did McDonough.
Well, Clark's out of it now, yeah. But, you know, that General Clark was at Waco.
Yeah.
He was in charge at Waco.
He was in charge of Serbia, wasn't he, too?
Probably was, and I don't have much use for him. Yeah. But he didn't look like his heart was really in it anyhow.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, any more on the... Well, what do you think of this Ferry Carey?
Ferry Carey?
Yeah, he's leading in the polls, man.
Oh, Carey. Oh, well, he's just another politician. You know,
we're not going to sit here on my stage and call him just another politician. Now, everybody's for him.
Oh.
You got to be for him, too.
Well, it's good that he's going after Bush's military. You know, the whole thing about whether or not he was in the National Guard, during the Vietnam War, basically the National Guard, just rich people got in, and basically his dad got in. That way he could fart around in Texas, smoke a few joints, ride around in a government truck, and not go to Vietnam and do any fighting. You know, look at all the politicians that were, you got, wasn't Quayle and stuff, he was in the National Guard.
Oh yeah,
and you got Bush and you got Bill Clinton. You know he left the country to went to England to go to college and quote unquote so he wouldn't have to fight. All these fuckers that are all gung ho and sending troops to Serbia or Iraq and Africa, whatever. None of them ever fought. You know they always use their money and influence to get the hell out of the war.
Well, at least they're finally bringing all this crap out about Bush and
yeah.
how he hit out and he wasn't even at the meetings and
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
like that. And then typical of Texas,
mm-hmm.
They said on the news yesterday, oh, they just discovered some receipts he'd signed, and he was there.
Yeah, you know, some lady was busy writing them out.
Shades of Lyndon Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Anything. Once you got power in Texas, you could control
anything.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. It probably took them a while to forge them and
fake
stuff.
Them up.
You know, make the ink look old and everything.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, the National Guard and stuff, I had a friend that was in there, and he wanted me to join and stuff, so I went through a couple meetings. Basically, all they do is drink beer, they smoke dope, and then they have 22s they practice with.
Yeah.
The ammo's cheaper. They get high and they shoot 22s, and that's all. And they bullshit. A lot of guys, like, their uniforms would be all tucked out. They look like a bunch of drunks. I mean, it's a big joke. And he's such a weenie that he couldn't even go and drink beer with these guys, you know.
Why, what do you think? He's some low-caste, redneck working man?
Well, you're
going to hang out with those people.
Well, the thing is, his argument is he did his duty for America because he went in the National Guard. The National Guard, like, is basically just a joke.
Yeah, well, the only time they bring the National Guard out is to shoot at the citizens.
Yeah. Well, the working-class people get in the National Guard because they do their full... sit in the Army and they still want to play with guns, so then they re-enlist into the National Guard for, 18 years, whatever. But the rich people in the war got into it because that's the way they could get out of military service.
When I came out of active duty in the Army back in 59, I was supposed to go to these reserve meetings,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of like...
Well, for like 6 months or so.
Yeah, like that. But they said forget it because my MOS, my job classification, didn't have anything for me to do.
Yeah, for radio,
I'd have just been sitting there. Yeah. But if I had known they didn't have beer, I'd have gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, all they did was drink beer, smoke dope, and shoot 22.
Nah, you're not telling me they sit there on government property and smoke
a joint. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I had a friend that was a quartermaster.
Man. That
he spent a lot of 22 ammunition.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Now I understand that this magazine, Source Magazine, you ever heard of it?
Source?
Yes. Yeah, Source Magazine first wrote about Eminem 6 years ago. It heralded him as the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
The magazine is still hyping Eminem, but now he's the enemy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Why is that?
For more than a year, Source owners David Mays and Ray Benzino Scott have been battling their one-time poster boy attempting to expose rap's mainstream face and sales king as a racist interloper, corrupting a black art form for the benefit of corporate America.
Well, that's no, all his new, his first albums, Eminem, they were all talking about, they were all kind of racist. They're all talking about niggers and stuff, and you know, they were actually anti-race. Then he got it big and stuff. He dropped all the race thing. Just Marky Mark, you know, like he got busted for hate crimes a couple of times. So.
Late last year, The Source magazine appeared to have a smoking gun, old tapes in which Eminem used the N-word and derides black women. In an apology, the rapper said the tapes were made in anger when he was 16 and dumped by a black, but he got dumped by a nigger broad, so he wrote these songs.
I kind of think he made that up.
I can't believe it. Put that in the trash, yeah. Man. Eminem, what a scam artist.
Oh, yeah.
What else we got here? Come on, we got all kinds of news here. Tell you what, they figure, there's a new book out on how screwed up the taxes are. Uh-huh. It said almost all the money in this country is held by about 400 people.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's...
Fortune 500, 500 of those fuckers.
Yeah, right.
I heard that the FFC, because of this Janet Jackson titty thing...
Yeah! Did you see that titty?
No. All I saw was black on black on black.
I'm trying to see whether you were watching Nigger Ball.
No, I wasn't watching the Nigger Ball, but I saw the news and stuff. And actually, in the news, they blurred it out, so.
Well, on, I think it was on The Daily Show, they had it going 50 times back. Like
oh, really?
They speeded up the film and cut it.
Uh-huh.
And to where she was ripping it off about 75 times. Because they figured the people would like to know.
Yeah. Well, you know that Justin Timberlake, well, I mean, what a pansy. Janet Jackson said that, you know, it was staged and stuff.
Yeah.
And she apologized, and he keeps going on. He says, oh, I didn't know it was a wardrobe malfunction. And, you know, like, even though he's a wigger and stuff, you ought to be a guy.
What
and,
a
you know,
chicken.
To take the rap for
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Should have letting her do it.
Oh, Janet, she should... Bitch slap that boy.
Slap the fucker.
Yeah, I'd stand right behind her like
fancy little white guy.
Like should do it like on the movie Airplane, where about
oh, yeah.
15 people stand in line.
And the Hare Krishnas with the crowbar. They're yeah. You know that woman who was hysterical.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And okay, now here is what we're getting into with the working class.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now they're eager for the latest model car.
No.
You know. Many consumers trade in their old car and leave the lot with a shiny new automobile.
Whoa.
Yet the old car's worth is often less than the amount still owed on it, $3,700 on average. Dealers tack the old debt onto the new car loan, deepening the consumer's financial hole.
Of
course, that's where all the money's made. Anymore. It's not off the car, yeah. It's off financing.
Oh, no, sure, yeah.
And I know at one time, Sears and Roebuck, I was told that their biggest profit item was selling insurance.
Yeah.
And like that. So.
Well, that's a Best Buy. I heard the Best Buy, they make most of their money when they have the extended warranty.
Yeah.
Because they've got so many loopholes in it. I'm like an idiot. I got an extended warranty on my laptop, and when there was problems there, they basically either they can't fix it. Or they always say, oh, it's a software problem.
Incidentally, yeah. I saw a compact like yours for sale used.
Don't tell me.
$750.
Don't tell me.
Wow. But maybe it wasn't quite like yours. I don't know. But, isn't that scary?
I don't want to know that.
How much did your car end up costing you?
$17,000.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't give $17,000 for any car. I've never had a car that cost me over $3,000 or $4,000 in my life.
Yeah.
Most of my cars are about $1,000.
Well, you know, my parents, a few years ago, they bought a double-wide...
Oh, goddamn! They shot at us again. Whoa, went right over the roof.
They bought a double-wide trailer for $19,000. That's $2,000 more dollars I could have bought it.
You could have had a happy home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
well, that's that's why I'm still driving my boat. But I don't understand it. You go to an auction... And all you young guys out there, don't buy new cars for Christ's sake. Go to the auction, pick up one for $500, $1,000, maybe $1,500, drive it till it drops and get another one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it don't, you know, I tell my kids, I've told them forever like that. My one daughter, she went out and bought this new car. Well, I guess a couple of them did.
Yeah.
And she bought this new car, and now she wants to get rid of, Dad, the payments are too much, Well, hell, she's paying more for payments than I paid for my first store in this town. I paid $75 a month rent
yeah.
for a place to make a living. And her payments is four times that.
Well, this is a good lesson for her. She needs to learn financial reality.
Yeah, well.
Like I am learning at my age.
Yeah, I tell you. We call you Enron boy.
I know.
Well, Dr. Collenberg, let's take a break here. Let's put on some more of this Midgard music for our listeners. Hey, that was great. That was really great. Yeah. Well, I like that, you know. And that was another one from Midgard Pro Patria 3, and that's from Sweden. Now, they have the words for it in Swedish in a little booklet that comes with it. And that first one we did was Valkyrian. But I'm not going to attempt to read the titles of all these songs. But anyhow, we'll play some more of that. Maybe we'll play one at the end of the show. How about that? Well, Dr. Collenberg, yeah, you've been working real hard.
Yes.
Lots of stuff.
All kinds of junk.
Right.
But then I've had a break where I've seen actually one movie.
You did?
Big Fish.
Big Fish.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty interesting movie.
Oh, I thought that was a terrific movie.
Tim Burton makes some interesting flicks.
It was sort of bizarre in the beginning and around there, and you begin to wonder, what the hell's going on here? But it all came together again.
Actually, I thought it was kind of a life-giving movie, life-affirming movie.
Yeah, and I think it...
I know people like that. Remember when you were a kid, was there always somebody who was just a constant bullshit artist?
Yeah!
And everybody liked him, even though everyone knew he's full of crap. You know?
My dad used to hang out at this gas station. Mm-hmm. You know, my grandfather used to hang out at barber shops, and that's where they talked politics.
We had a gas station too.
All these old boys hung out there. And
gas station racists.
Joked and laughed and everything. In fact, I guess that's where I got to doing it for a while with my buddy. I was a little kid and sit in there and hear the damnedest stories.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And one of the guys that hung out there was a midget that used to work in a
carnival. Oh, no shit.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time. Yeah. Bald-headed midget, yeah. You know. He was something else. And, oh, man. That was, but there's a lot of people who can really spin the arms, you know. And most of them are running for president this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So, anyhow, it was a good... I'd recommend that as a family
movie. Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah. It was really, I don't think there's anything offensive in it at all.
I didn't find anything offensive in it.
Yeah, it's kind of good because they, you know, they led you to think that all this adultery was going on.
Oh, they shot
in
our
guy. What the fuck is that noise?
Damn, rocket came
goddamn
over the bunker.
Jesus Christ.
Scared the shit out of me, man. I hope those guys blast those bastards. They've been lobbing those in here for the last week about every 20 minutes from way down that tree line behind those avocado trees.
Uh-huh.
And then pretty soon we got to get on them and lay some heavy stuff on them, and then they leave us alone.
Yeah.
Okay. I got about pissed my pants.
I know. Oh. I forgot my train of thought. What the fuck was I saying, goddammit?
Scared the shit out of you.
I almost squashed my kumquat. Kumquats are little oranges.
Let's keep it clean here.
Well, kumquats are tiny little oranges.
I love those things.
Oh, God. That's a great thing about living in Southern California. He's got avocado trees all over. Well, Swalbrook's surrounded by avocados. I've been living off of avocado. You can give me bags of avocados.
Yeah.
Kumquats are tiny little, they're like little oranges.
Yeah.
Loquats are what, like little lemons and stuff?
No, I'm not sure.
They're a little more sour than kumquats, aren't they?
Well, these things, they look about like a, they're oblong. They're not round like an orange. But Bert Miller, remember, my friend, used to have a tree out there.
Oh, yeah.
And when I went out to his place, and it was a time when they're ripe, I pulled a car right by the damn tree. The limbs are hanging down, and I'm just pulling them off the tree and eating them. I sit there and eat
a
pound of
them. Cool. They're like little baby tiny oranges, but you can eat the peel and everything. You just eat everything in them.
The peeling's the sweet
part. Oh, yeah, the peeling's good. And you know, it's cool. So they got pomegranate trees all over the place, and you know, like a lot of places you go, and you just don't have anything at all, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, the crap goes down. You can survive quite easily.
This is February, and all the fruit trees are bearing fruit, you know.
And then they have
oranges.
Stuff.
I had a friend that had a pink grapefruit tree in the backyard. You know, the grapefruits off the tree are really good. They're a lot better than they are. They're a lot sweeter than they are in the store, because I guess the store, they sit them in a warehouse, and all the sugar is turned to starch or whatever.
But anyhow, all you lone wolves out there, if you can make it to Southern California, you can survive with it. If you just had a blanket or a little tent. Oh, in fact, that shows me. You know, Johnny Clary said when they took my house that I was living in a camper down by the river.
Well, he got that from Saturday Night Live, and Chris Farley, he played a character that lived in a camper. A band by the river, down by the river.
Right. And so I got a picture of a guy here. He is, I forget where this was. Oh, this was in Oklahoma. He looks like an Indian of some type. But anyhow, he's homeless since the city condemned his apartment building after part of the roof collapsed. He's been living in a tent along the Arkansas River with others who also lost their homes. But the difference there is, in the wintertime, he is colder than hell. It gets chilly here, but it wouldn't take much.
Well,
you don't have to take many clothes.
What the fuck's the Indian complaining about? Because now he can get back to nature, and before the white man oppressed him and threw him in an apartment, he's living like his ancestors did a couple hundred years ago in a tent by the river.
That roof falling in did him a big
favor. So he is free from white man's oppression, the apartment and the houses and all the indoor plumbing, and go down and shit in the river.
Well, this is like going back to his roots.
Yeah, exactly. He should be happy because he's free of the white
man. They don't look too happy, though.
He is free of the white man's oppression, the white man's science, and the white man's industry.
I wonder if he can get any wine down
the white man's
river.
Well, that's another white man thing.
Oh.
Indians didn't have wine.
Oh, what did they have?
Peyote.
They had something to drink, didn't they?
Well, they had a local weed. They made a tea out of local weed and drank.
Come
that.
On, now they must have fermented buffalo juice or something.
Well, no. If you read teachings of Don Juan and stuff, they like a local weed, datura. They took the roots and they ground them and they made a tea out of it, which is a hallucinogenic tea, and they drank that.
Mean they didn't have any alcohol?
No.
Well, I know what. That's why
they use drugs.
Well, that's why, because they went crazy when they got alcohol.
I used to think
how cruel they were not letting the Indians have alcohol until I met a couple of Indians who drank alcohol, and I said, hell, they should never let an Indian have alcohol.
Yeah. Well, that's because they said that genetically, you know, our ancestors have been drinking alcohol 5,000 years or more, and so our bodies have been used to it. But the Indians, They just didn't have any defense against it. It's just like with us in peyote. You know, the Indians can eat peyote and drink local weed all the time.
Yeah.
You know, we drink local weed and white people go nuts and stuff. A lot of times they lose their eyes and shit.
We don't have to worry about it. We're already loco.
Yeah.
Look, so we were on the Big Fish before that rocket-propelled grenade came across the top of the bunker.
Yeah.
Okay, now, were we done with that? Now, Albert Finney's a really good
actor. He's funny. I often remember the old In-Laws. This was in the 70s.
Yeah.
That was a real funny movie. He's in quite a few of them.
And he played in Wolfen, too.
Yeah, he starred in that.
That's a great movie.
Actually, I saw that on Star a couple weeks ago. They're rerunning it.
You go on. I saw it, too. Yeah. I've got a copy of it.
Yeah.
You're going out there and rent Wolfen, W-O-L-F-I-N. And boys and girls, that is a real primordial,
shake you up,
turn you around, scare the crap out of you.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll learn what being a lone wolf is like.
Oh, yeah. That's a cool one. That's one of the better werewolf movies.
Okay, now, the police are warning against an email scam.
Oh.
And here it is. And it's pretty cool. It's too bad I didn't think of this. The email tells recipients their bank account has been frozen under the directions of the Department of Homeland Security and other agencies. If you don't verify account information, the account remains frozen and information will be sent to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. So somebody really thought up a good one there. I wonder which kike figured that one out.
That'd be kind of stupid because, like with me, is when I have a problem with my bank calls me up. They don't email me. Why? You know, what bank would email you?
Look, a lot of these old people,
they
get them on about anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're doing it all the time, scamming them by phone and things like that. So, okay, what else is in the news here? Wait a minute. Oh, the Grammy Awards.
Whoa.
Wasn't that the biggest collection of assholes you ever saw in your life?
That was just a nigger love fest and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I turned it on a little bit. And I couldn't take it, so I had to go back to Charm so I could watch Lil Wyatt, see if Wyatt's going to turn evil or the savior.
Jesus, you watch some weird shit.
Yeah.
I
mean, they got three beautiful white women and a little baby who's a pagan prophet named Wyatt. How could you not love a show like that?
Oh, man, I don't know. I just, all this
whole
situation comedies turn me off.
It's not a situation comedy.
Because they're not funny. I don't want to watch
about the future
you know
and
what?
How Wyatt's going to be the savior.
I don't watch it. Well, Colin, what's his name, was funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
about race last night.
Oh, he's a lot. Well, he gets into a lot of race stuff.
Yeah, it was really wild last night. They had excerpts of a whole bunch of the shows
that
had to do with race.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, I saw a short thing on some Hollywood TV news thing.
Uh-huh.
Showed this other black broad. I don't know who she was. Her whole tit was hanging out.
Probably little Kimmy. She's always showing her
all
tit.
She had was a little bandango on the end.
Was she real short and real black?
Yeah. I don't think she seems like
sometimes her hair's purple and.
No, I don't know. I didn't watch.
I'm
sitting around watching nigger tits. Come on, I change the channel, man. I go to the Daily Show, you know. And that was the amazing. And that's where all those people are. The one to get the nigger off who chopped this. This beautiful white family.
Oh yeah.
The man, the lady, and two kids, I guess.
Yeah.
And one kid lived.
Yeah.
Chopped them up with hatchets, and these bastard liberals in Hollywood and these kikes are trying to get him off.
Oh well, he had his Keds shoes, the special issued from prison. He just got out of prison. He was wearing Keds shoes. His footprints are.
He didn't get out of prison. Oh, you mean before
he just got out. He was still in his prison.
Oh yeah,
clothes.
Okay.
And the nigger went in there and he killed this white family. His blood is everywhere because I guess he was slashing. He must have slashed his cell, so he had his blood all over him. All the thing. He was eaten out of the thing. He left it. He even admitted that he was in the house.
Yeah.
And his footprints are everywhere. But then, even though he was in the house right out of the prison, his blood and his footprints are everywhere. They conjured up the fact that one of the kids, the blonde kids, had blonde hair in their hand. So if you chop up people with blonde hair, sometimes you cut their hair and their hair will fall in their hands. And so I guess they stayed the execution because they got to do DNA tests to make sure it's not her.
Well, they found one crazy lady.
Probably,
20 years ago, she said two guys came into a bar.
No, actually, she just came up with the story a few days ago.
Yeah.
It's been 20 years. A few days ago, she said, 20 years ago, we saw these blonde guys come into a bar and they're all bloody. Except, why didn't she say that 20 years ago? And all those people sitting in the bar, here comes a couple white guys covered in blood. and then it becomes in the news that a family was just chopped up around the corner. Why didn't one of them in the bar phone up the police and said, hey, we had some white guys in there covered with blood? You know, and just 20 years later, all of a sudden this white bitch happens to remember, oh, there was white guys in there that were bleeding.
Well, when the hell do you ever hear of a white guy everybody trying to get him off the death
row? Oh, no. Oh, like Harris. Remember Harris, the last guy they executed in California? He was doing a robbery, and there was two white kids in there. He was stealing their car, and I guess it was their dad's car, and they freaked out, and they jumped the guy, and so he shot him just because they jumped him. That wasn't premeditated at all. They executed, not only when they executed him, they put him in the gas chamber, and they dropped the pellets, and for some reason, they didn't have the mixture right, and he didn't die. So then they let him sit there once they gassed him the first time, and they gassed him again.
Wow.
I mean, after they burned his lungs with the gas, he was just sitting there waiting to be gassed the second time, which to me, that would be cruel and unusual punishment to, you know, kill somebody and fuck it up and do it
well,
all
he'd
again.
Have been a nigger. Let him walk.
Oh, yeah. There'd be so much, every church in the fucking country would be out there demonstrating and say, oh, you're torturing a nigger, but it's all right. Like I said, the white guy, he didn't even premeditate. He wasn't even premeditated. He just wanted their car.
What happened to that, the beautiful white girl up in Montana that was missing or killed?
That
ugly Mexican.
I think that hasn't gone to trial yet.
They haven't done anything.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they haven't found the body either, I guess. But anyhow.
Yeah, they found the body, yeah.
They did?
Yeah.
Where'd they find it?
Out in the field somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Raped and mutilated.
All right. Now let's get back to the election stuff. Well, wait a minute. How about the Grammy Awards, man?
Oh, that was just a real nigger love fest.
Oh, man, and all those white liberals out there and Jews worried about this nigger they're going to execute.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? The guy that's up for Oscar, Sean Penn?
Yeah.
He's one of the big ones that are trying to say that niggers lie.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see what he gets, an Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
The more liberal you are, the more race mixer you are, the more likely you are to get a big prize, you know. But anyhow, that was an old. And then I saw a glimpse of the part of it on some entertainment channel. This one black broad came in there with her whole one tit hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
All she had on was one of those bandangos like they have at the strip club.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she was trying to upstage Janet, huh?
Yeah.
You know. What?
But damn. It was a little Kimmy.
You're sitting there like a deer caught in a headlight.
I'm amazed.
You're so excited about a nigger with her tit hanging out.
No, I'm amazed that you noticed that, a nigger titty.
Well, they had a close-up of a boom, man, from the waist up, and it was sticking you right in the puss.
Yeah.
How could you miss that? Well, I changed the channel right away.
I looked at it just a couple seconds, and I flipped over to Charm and watched Charm, because Charm is three beautiful white women, and the prophet, who's going to be a pagan prophet, Wyatt, who may turn evil, but if he doesn't, he'll save the world.
And that's what the hell show is this? I never heard of it.
Charmed. It's on, on Fox.
You know, I will never watch a show that has canned laughter.
Oh, no, it's on WB. It's not a comedy,
man. Does it have canned laughter?
No.
No?
No.
Does it have canned crying?
No, but it's got three beautiful women barely dressed, and it's about the occult, and it's about Wyatt, who's going to come and save the world, baby.
WB is the biggest race mixing channel on TV.
Well, they have the Prophet Wyatt, so they can't be.
Oh,
the baby's name's Wyatt.
Just snuck all your people in here today, man.
Yeah,
Every time you say something, you're fans.
Because
I'm going to make sure next time my fans come in here,
uh-huh.
My one good fan,
uh-huh.
My mother.
Yeah.
Anyhow, now look, Carrie and Clark's out of it now, right? But they're all running around to these nigger churches.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a big spiel. Now, that should be illegal.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to get your free tax exemption if you allow politics in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody enforces that rule.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And the Republicans, they don't do it, but they have, they do it. The guys that run for office, I've seen Reagan in black churches, things like that. But they don't promote it as much, but they sure as they don't give them hell on the other side because they're afraid of the niggers. No, they're not afraid of the niggers. They're afraid of what white liberals will make out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got that screwed up. They think that they're afraid of the niggers. Well, the niggers don't have that power.
Yeah.
but they are afraid of what all the white liberals and Christian, we love everybody people will do. And that's the problem.
Well, you know, the democracy is such a bunch of shit. You know, like with the Simon Wiesenthal Center and the ADL, if their nonprofit status, according to the law, they cannot promote any laws. If they use their nonprofit money to influence the government at all, they're supposed to lose it. So what do? Is they're the ones that are promoting all these hate crime laws, and the very fact that they promoted the hate crime laws legally, they should have lost their tax-exempt status.
Yeah.
And, D's and these guys, when they promote all these hate crime laws and promote all these arrests of skinheads legally, he's supposed to lose his tax-exempt status, but he doesn't do it. No. If we would do this, if we would have tax-exempt status, and we would appoint a bill, we would not only lose it, we'd be in jail for tax fraud and everything. They'd nail the hell out of it.
Well, everybody on our side, the minute they try to get tax exempt,
oh, yeah.
I remember that's why Klassen called it the Church of the Creator.
Yeah.
That's the only reason he called it the Church of the Creator.
Oh, is it?
He was trying to get tax exemption. And I told him at the time, I said, forget it. You're not going to get tax exemption, especially down here in the Bible Belt, even though it's federal. But, you know, they said, the hell with you. And then Pierce, with his cosmotheist church, he thought he was going to get it too. He didn't get it.
Yeah.
I told them all. I said, you're not going to get tax exemption if you're racist. Ain't no way, no how.
Yeah.
Only race mixers get it. Now,
and plus, they don't even, when they get it, you know, the bigger anti-white scum you are, the less they'll enforce the laws.
Yeah. Now, you know, anyhow, during this election, I wish I had a nickel for every time these candidates hug a nigger.
Yeah.
Hug and kiss a nigger. And they always got to make sure when they give a victory or a speech, they got a nigger.
Oh, yeah, a nigger in the back.
A nigger there.
He's got to be a big black nigger, too.
X amount of big fat niggers on the stage.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you know. And look, I told you we had this history book now, the history of the Aryan race, written in 1888.
Oh, yeah, that's
1888, and it's $20 to war.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that's the books I dug up, Morris, right?
Okay, now you're talking about the Masons, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I found those because I went onto like a website, and I found this Mason site, and they have all these different books and stuff that go back to Freemasonry, and so many of them are racial and stuff. There was a book on there about how to have a Odinist Mason Lodge. This is like in the 1900s, so they had people who worship Freemasons who worship Odin and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And actually, they're racial because, you know, like Albert Pike is the one that came up with a lot of their rituals and stuff, and he was the guy that did the Klan rituals, too.
Well, he did the morals and dogma of the Masons. And I've said before, most people haven't read it. It's about 500 pages. It's about as thick as the Bible, you know. But if you take all the references to the Jewish Kabbalah and mysticism and crap out of there, take all the Christian crap out of there, and you'd have an Aryan religion,
or
an Aryan Bible,
because
it's got a lot of good stuff in
there.
And I was thinking one time of doing that, but that's going to take a lot of work.
I even went to this, the headquarters of the Rosicrucians in Oceanside here, just about, about 10 miles from Fallbrook.
Right, yeah.
Well, I went over there and ate lunch with them once, and they were giving me all their literature. And a lot of it, the older stuff, a lot of it is about the Aryan race, because, you know, it's based on the secret doctrine.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's about, you know, the movements of the Aryan race and stuff like that. And I was thinking, well, everybody, you know, attacks the Rosicrucians, but at least their older stuff is really racial.
I knew a guy back 30 years ago when I was in the Klan. I'm not the Klan, but the John Birch Society. I'm sorry, John Birch Society.
you should be, I'm sorry, Klan.
I'm sorry, Klan, that's right.
You just
right,
insulted
yeah.
the Klan by
his name Birch was Society. Tibbetts, and he worked over on the base.
Mm-hmm.
And he was evidently went over to that place, Rosicrucian.
Yeah.
And he swore that when he was over there, he levitated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
I went over there and had a vegetarian lunch with the elder ladies who had it. I didn't levitate. No,
I
ate. I didn't.
Well, you must not have a pure soul then.
Yeah. Well, maybe I ate too much. That's why I didn't levitate. All that vegetarian food.
That one time you were a little heavy, right?
Oh no, this is before I got heavy.
Oh. Well, you're still a big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you would have a hard time levitating.
Yeah. I
might be able to levitate.
I am genetically programmed to be big. I would never be a skinny person.
No, I've heard that before. You're a big bone guy. Okay, now what else we got here? You know, I found out in a study now that the white men who marry black women, and there's a getting to be more of them, you know.
Uh-huh.
They're marrying them because of their position. Mm-hmm. The black women are getting up in the business world,
yeah.
the lawyers,
oh, yeah.
and bankers, and all that stuff.
For the money.
And so the white guys who marry black women are marrying upscale blacks.
Mm-hmm.
They're not marrying poor bitches,
oh, no.
you know. And then, of course, the black guys tend to be marrying down
yeah.
and marrying gals that work in waitresses and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
So, you see, you know. But I can't understand why these black women don't take a hatchet to these black guys.
Oh, they're just submissive.
They're just, yeah, that's the way, yeah. Okay.
Well, I imagine the white women that marry black guys, they're marrying guys in lower positions because,
yeah.
you know, most of them that I know of, you know, the white woman works, she's got a good job, and she has a good stocks, so she's basically supporting her nigger.
Right. Well, Dr. Kahlenberg, that's about it for this time.
All right, you want to play another song?
Yeah, I think we'll play another one of those sweetie songs.
What's the name of that band?
Well, that band is called Midgard, evidently.
Cool.
That's what it says on here, but there's a lot of Swedish verbiage, and I don't understand that. But
she's a good singer.
She is, and I'd like to meet her. Whoa, yeah. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Champagne, det finns den nya dagen grym, så rinner jag.